ask ourselves literary critical questions. Why are the books shaped like they are? What is the imagery that Lewis is using? But when we sit back, when we reflect upon the books and ask ourselves why we enjoy them, or why we don't enjoy them for that matter, why Lewis, this great medievalist, should have turned to writing these books, and why he did so the way that he did, then the Narnia Chronicles begin to show themselves as a little bit of a mystery. There's a bit of a puzzle about the Narnia Chronicles. And one way of getting into this is by reflecting upon the reaction that C.S. Lewis got when he read aloud the first few chapters of the first book, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, to his great friend Tolkien. C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien were colleagues at Oxford. They were good friends. They were hugely influential upon each other. It was largely through Tolkien's influence that C.S. Lewis became a Christian in his early 30s. And it was largely through C.S. Lewis's encouragement that Tolkien began to believe that there would be an audience for the kind of literature that he, Tolkien, was writing. Tolkien once said that The Lord of the Rings was written in no small part to keep C.S. Lewis quiet, because he was always asking for more. And Tolkien admits that if it hadn't been for Lewis's endless encouragement, at times to the point of nagging, he would never have completed The Lord of the Rings. Or if he'd completed it, he wouldn't have offered it for publication, because it was only Lewis who ever convinced him that there would be an audience for the kind of thing that he was writing. So hugely influential on each other, these two men. I like to say that Lewis and Tolkien had a kind of love-hate relationship, in that Lewis loved Middle-earth, the Lord of the Rings magical world, but Tolkien hated Narnia. Tolkien strongly detested the way Lewis assembled that first story, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, out of what he, Tolkien, regarded as incompatible mythological traditions. Tolkien couldn't understand what imaginative logic there was behind Lewis's choice of all these disparate literary traditions. English children, straight out of the pages of an E. Nesbitt kind of story. Centaurs and fauns, dryads and naiads, characters from Greek and Roman mythology. You have a white witch character who seems very much to be based on a Snow Queen character from a Hans Andersen fairy tale. You have Father Christmas turning up in this first story too. And to Tolkien, this very disparate set of literary traditions and mythological origins in one single story didn't really make sense. Tolkien had a very different attitude to sub-creation, as he called it, to imaginative composition. Tolkien liked to file everything down to a smooth finish so that it glowed with a kind of polished surface, so that it had this inner consistency of reality, as he puts it. Tolkien invents whole languages and genealogies and geographies. He published The Lord of the Rings with, I think, 8 or 9 appendices. So keen was he to give his magical world this sort of three-dimensional believability, imagined to the nth degree of perfectionism. Tolkien was really a perfectionist and a purist. Some might even say an obsessive when it came to giving his imagined world a kind of authenticity. And when he looked at the way Lewis was composing the Narnia Chronicles, he thought that it was, comparatively speaking, slapdash, a mishmash, a hodgepodge, without any great coherence in design, without any thoroughgoing patterning. The only thing about this attitude that Tolkien struck to the Narnia Chronicles is that it was based on relatively little knowledge. He didn't read the books when they began to be published. He later confessed that they were entirely outside his range of imaginative sympathy, and so he didn't know them terribly well. In fact, he was quite a hard man to please, and a lot of Lewis's works he didn't like terribly well. If one looks through Tolkien's letters, one finds that almost every time Lewis is bringing out a new book, Tolkien is there finding some kind of fault with it. But because Tolkien has become so famous, his attitude to Narnia has become very well known too, and lots of people have thought that Tolkien knew the books better than he did, and that when he described them as a bit of a hodgepodge, that was a considered literary critical judgment. But it wasn't really. And I'm sure that if Tolkien had reflected upon it, he would have begun to ask himself, well, why should my friend C.S. Lewis be writing these books this way? Because he's not typically and characteristically a random or a slapdash writer or thinker. He was a very rigorous and consistent thinker who had good reasons for everything he did and said. Lewis's own poetry, for instance, is fantastic.